Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring Ramon Foster in Hendersonville, Tennessee. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports in downtown Pittsburgh. Over there, over my shoulder. See, he doesn't have the Hendersonville, Tennessee skyline.
Skyline is more like hills, you know? More like hills.
And it's like, and hills, actual hills, or hills the old department store?
To my left, I'm looking at my office window right now. There is a nice hill over there, man, that I'm saying to myself, that cow is going to fall down it.
Wait, like, you have a cow?
I don't, but like the people that own like the land next to me have one, man. It's it's across the way right there, man. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And you hear them mooing and stuff all the time. It's weird. I'm like right past the city line. So people right past the city line like me, one, we don't pay city taxes. I'm going to throw that out there real quick. We pay county taxes only. But with that being said, you have farms around me and stuff. Like, we're a little bit less developed than the other side of town.
I mean, the cow doesn't know the difference.
Cow just want to eat his grass and not get the struck by lightning.
The cow just wants to eat grass, you know? The cow is not a complex individual. Let's ring that bell before this gets more ridiculous. It's good. How did I resist the temptation to say, let's move on?
Let's move on.
Before this show becomes an utter disgrace.
Be like Greg right here.
Go ahead.
Greg says, hey, Mo, you should totally get a cow. Yeah. It would be utterly great. A moozing event. See, there you go. This is what happens when we open that door like that, DK.
It's clown shoes around here for sure. Here,
it's justifiably today.
Yeah, we're now stuck with all kinds of cows. The one thing that cows don't have, though, is this, Moan.
What's that, DK? A hump day? No, they do not, man. Welcome to Wednesday. We're halfway through this thing, man. You know where else you hear cow noises at? It's whenever this one particular guy catches a football in the stadium and they've resorted to a moo.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Cool race. Shout out to you.
King of the segues. All right.
I tell you who else would love what we got in store for him today, too. Mooth, as we discuss.
That's right.
Quarterbacks, pal. DK.
We're talking about quarterbacks, but we're going to do it in a little bit of a different way. Enough of the side drama and this and that and who said what to whom and when.
And what to do.
I don't know. If you're bringing in the quarterback who might be the most mobile, the most dangerous runner at his position in the entire world, how do you let him stand on your sideline? How do you just grab a helmet?
Some would argue Lamar Jackson when it comes down to that conversation, but he's been less of a runner. Yes, he has been less of a runner, man. We discussed this just a little bit, and I've had this conversation with others, right, about what do you do with a Justin Fields who's under contract, the highest paid quarterback on roster, by the way, too, DK. I want to say how you fleeced him again.
Yeah, I hear that.
So what? With that being said, DK, there has to be something for him because you got to have reps on the job in today's NFL. You got to be able to say either you're paying a crazy amount of attention to what Russ is doing, or you got to incorporate him into the field of play in some capacity. The issue is what if Justin goes in and does well, right? What if Justin Fields goes in and he's actually slinging the ball better than Russell Wilson is? That's where you get into trouble. A two quarterback system, I don't think Arthur Smith's ever done that. I hadn't seen him do it here in Tennessee. What I have seen him do is go from one quarterback to another as far as Desmond Ridder goes and try to do similar things. When you're asking me the playmaking ability of Justin, I told you this the other day when we discussed where he would be at, is I don't want him running too much, DK. But his ability to extend plays and be safe when it comes down to breaking runs, which he's proven he can do. He did it this past year in Chicago. He's a threat. The same way we felt about Lamar Jackson with his ability to extend plays. I always say playing in the NFL, specifically the NFL up until late, you're really playing 10 on 11 because most quarterbacks elect not to run. With a guy like Justin Fields, right, he adds the 11th player factor to your game. And I wouldn't throw Russ in that conversation, DK, because Russ is more of an older style. He's going to create in the backyard. He's going to run 7 yards and slide. But
yeah,
the conversation of having packages or series for Justin Fields, if you're going to do it, it needs to consistently happen. Then we don't have a quarterback one. We have a quarterback tandem. And I don't know if we've ever seen that work in today's NFL. The only way we've seen that work, DK, and it was fractured even then, is Drew Brees and Taysom Hill.
But even that wasn't the Taysom Hill, if I remember correctly, wasn't he just used on like plunges or fourth downs? I mean, I think they got him a little bit more involved. But, you know, you've mentioned something in the past about these situations where it can advertise to the opponent what you're doing.
It does.
And the opponent can react accordingly. Am I right? You've experienced that.
Yep. But with that, DK, I see somebody in the comments just put up Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. They're moments for it. My thing is this: when it comes down to Justin Fields, right?
That was systemic. When Baltimore did it, it was different. That was deliberate, in and out, changing on. They were trying to scare the hell out of people with Lamar, and they did, by the way, except for one team.
My thing is this: when it comes down to it, one, Arthur Smith has to really, really prove himself now. If he's going to go back into that role of being an offensive coordinator that people love, people was heralding as being the next guy, and he wants to solidify himself, a Bruce Arians type, right? This guy knows how to call plays. Then he's got to figure out what's the balance between doing the both, okay? The thing that I think we're up against when it comes down to Justin Fields, to me, DK, is this. I don't know if we have enough time with Justin Fields to actually play both sides either. Here's the thing. We know this. He's had a crap show of offense when it comes down to his coaches in Chicago and his offensive coordinators. I was having a conversation with somebody today at my day job, and we were discussing, the issue with Justin Fields is he's not have a stable offensive coordinator that can teach, that can show, that can help him grow. Like, the thing about Josh Allen in Buffalo is this. For the first 4 years he was in Buffalo, you know what was the same for him? Brian Dable.
Yeah.
Brian Dable. Mm-hmm. We don't have that luxury of time with Justin. Unless Justin's going to say to himself, I'm willing to take a very cheap price as far as them extending me in a contract year and learn and become a better pro over the longevity of my career, as opposed to saying, play me right now. And that's why I say working the two quarterback system for Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, I don't know if we have that luxury, because to me, Justin has to learn.
I see what you're saying.
You got to slow his process down.
If you bring him in and let's say you commit, this is going to sound over the top, but just hear it out. You commit to just a basic reconstruct of the player, of the quarterback.
And
you say there are a lot of things that he did in Chicago that have to be exorcised from his system, okay? That he has to just have all those demons out and then start over. My understanding, boy, this is also going to sound a little unfair, was that the Bills did this with Mitch Trubisky when he had to decompress following his time in Chicago as a quarterback. And then they had to teach Mitch all over again how to quarterback. They felt like they had him in a good spot. That was part of what convinced Kevin Colbert to go get him. And,
Yeah, no. So the question was, yeah, heck no, is what you tell him, okay? He's a backup. I don't look at Justin Fields as it stands right now as a backup. I look at him as a star that can bud into something crazy, DK, but it has to be treated the right way. The same way, DK, I truly feel about watching Tua. Tua, to a lot of people, Tua Tagovailoa was a guy that everybody wrote off until he met Mike McDaniels.
This is accurate.
Until he got Tyreek Hill and until Waddle came into the case, until they got their offensive line grew up, which took a hit in free agency. I think Connor Williams from the ACL is still hurt, and Robert Hunt just left, I think, to another team in free agency for $50-plus million at guard, okay? But Tua was written off, DK, when it came down to his career until he met the right person. Is, in your opinion, and I probably should answer this one before you do, Arthur Smith the guy to take Justin Fields and Russell Wilson over the top? I think so.
Yeah, so I mean, I can't even come close to answering that or attempting to answer it.
Here's the thing. This is what's been proven. Justin Fields is a vet now. So is Russell Wilson. Ryan Tannehill came to the Titans through a trade, if I'm not mistaken, and he turned into an all-pro $100 million quarterback. He understands what's the method in doing it, and he also knows what failure looks like in Atlanta. He's got way too much on his plate as far as Arthur Smith goes to mess this up for those guys, because there are other people that wanted Justin Fields, right? And he was a top 10 pick for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Marching him out there, I don't think it's the smartest thing, although I like him as a weapon. But his ability to learn and grow as a friggin' quarterback. Because here's the thing. He was at Georgia, transfers out of Georgia, go to Ohio State and immediately start playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is that component of it, too, is where has home been for a guy like him? He's had zero balance. Russ's situation is way different to me because Russ has been to the mountaintop and back. Somehow he got lost, whether that be his play, his locker room, and I will continually point fingers at Sean Payton. I hadn't got off of that. I don't care what anybody thinks of him.
I can tell. Yeah.
I do think there's narratives there that Sean Payton just simply didn't want him because he was signed before he got the job. Or he was a package deal that he really didn't want to sign off on. So he's making the Waltons eat $80-plus million.
You know, where Fields is concerned, if he gets out there, if he gets to partake in the offense, I guess one of the things that makes me a little bit cringy is the idea that it has to be, we just had somebody use the term gadget, or those kinds of, you know, clever plays where you're disguising something. Why couldn't he just come onto the field and just be himself for a play or two or for a series? Do you see what I'm saying? Isn't that enough of a change of pace? Isn't that a, whoa, hey, this guy's different. We have to handle him a little bit differently. This isn't the way we prepared. Do you see what I'm saying? Even if he's just running a conventional offense, I don't see why you have to slash him is what I'm saying. He can just be your second quarterback.
Well, that's the thing.
Your first quarterback, however it works out.
DK, he can sling it though.
I know he's got.
And he can run.
His kid is full.
and that's the thing about overexposing him with Russ in front of him. You run into the same situation that I think we had when it comes down to Kenny and Mason, right? One is strong as the other, and if one has a good day, everybody's going to be begging and asking for Justin Fields, which may not be a bad thing because at the end of the day, $1.2 million is all you're paying Russ. But the idea that Russ will get better and settle also DK this team. This offense is, to me, unstable as heck when it comes down to, and I say this respectfully, but there is no apparent leader on that offense. Najee, you brought him up the other day. Like, maybe this is a mentorship, and I saw somebody ask that. I started that question too. Is this a bigger mentorship than anything for Russell Wilson? But Russell Wilson also needs this team, this coach, to solidify his Hall of Fame status and to continue on in his career. I think there's another deal for Russ if Russ goes out and crushes it. Then you really up against it because he can look at Pittsburgh and say, I showed y'all love. I should be here in this city, and you should pay me. There's a lot that goes behind Russell having a good year and also Justin's just sitting back and watching them have a good year too, because then the commitment comes into it. Their biggest issue, as cheap as they are right now, in the next 2 years will be money at the quarterback position. And you don't even know what you have as far as Justin goes as a franchise guy with that level of commitment you'll have to give him.
Yeah, Ronald says, what's the problem with being slash? I think, Ron, what we're talking about here is a different type of case here. When you saw, Ramon mentioned Taysom Hill in New Orleans. When you saw Taysom Hill come onto the field, you knew what he was going to do because he could only do one thing.
Can I interrupt you there? You also saw Drew Brees and the look on his face. He hated it.
And then there was that. He hated it. And so it didn't particularly work. I mean, it worked okay. It wasn't anything great. It wasn't anything that New Orleans really needed. Certainly not something worth the headache of ticking off the resident Hall of Famer. But that's not who Justin Fields is. Justin Fields is a real live NFL quarterback. Does he have issues? Does he have progress that he needs to be made? You know, I've been saying for weeks now that my big concern about him is the heavy, crazy number of turnovers, which is why I kept stating again and again, I don't believe that the Steelers would have brought him in to be their starter. Okay?
Yeah.
But he's a real live quarterback. He can do a lot of different things with a lot of different skill sets, and I don't want to stifle that, Ron. That's what I'm saying.
So the question before we have to go into the break and go to the Hey Moan session is this. If we had to pick, DK and listeners, y'all write them in the comments. It's over 800 in here right now. Hit that like and subscribe button. If we were to ask, which quarterback do you want? What percentage do you think would be Russ? What percentage do you think would be Justin too? Because the answer I have, and I'll give mine first, is I don't know. I don't. How much of it was true with Russ in Denver and Seattle? And is it a Justin problem when it comes down to running an offense? I think the answer to me is you probably be 40-60 in any direction if you want it Justin or if you want it Russ. Because here's the thing behind it. I've seen the right coordinators of Brian Daboll, right? I've seen the right coordinators of Mike McDaniels, right? I've seen Andy Reid with the right quarterback. I've seen all these people with the right guys turn into stars. So maybe it was a little bit of their coordinators, their coaches, and everybody wants to believe they can save a former first rounder when it comes down to Justin. I want to start with Russ, and I go to Justin if I had to midway through the season.
Tomlin haters, please go join Kenny, says James. What I don't even know what he's referring to here. Cool Ray says, I have not seen two quarterbacks work out. Meaning two simultaneous quarterbacks. There aren't many examples. This isn't like running back where you can have a rhythm the way you guys did, and famously so with Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams, in large part because you guys knew how to adjust from series to series, and a set of downs to set of downs with those guys, the way they would get utilized. That's not quarterback. You've got guys stepping up in different directions or stepping out in different directions. Or just holding their pocket. And that's I really worry about that from the offensive line standpoint. It'd be tough, but at the same time, I'm going to say it again, Moan.
Say it.
How do you leave him just standing there on the sideline when you know he's a better athlete than anybody else who's out there? How do you do that?
So through 3 years with Justin Fields, before we have to go into this break, his completion percentage is just over 60%. He's got 40 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. He also has how many fumbles? It doesn't say how many fumbles. And had last year 55 sacks and 44 given up this year. I'll contribute some of that to him simply running out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage and sacks too. He does have to fix that. For a lot of people have been saying Justin Fields is a turnover machine. Yes. 100%. He has to fix that. I do think understanding and slowing down the pace of what a team needs from a quarterback does help with that too. The issue with Justin Fields has been this for the last 3 years. Chicago sucks. Okay? As a product on the field.
That's not just 3 years, but yeah.
but to think that a young rookie is going to be your savior when you don't surround them, they're just now starting to get their offensive line together. Their defense had its moments of ups and downs. They traded away other players. They traded for guys who are one-stop shops, like the guy they traded for last year from the when they fleeced the Carolina Panthers, the wide receiver from that team last year. You look at him, he was the only option when it comes down to what they were capable of doing. So with that being said, you look at them and say to yourself, the lack of weapons makes your job hard too, right? When you break all of that down, and that's what's most frustrating in trying to judge a guy like him into what he can do. DJ Moore is that wide receiver, by the way. And I'm with Jay Boy. Competition.
Well, I mean, that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out too. Nothing's been declared on that front the way it very clearly was whenever it was going to be Russ versus or Russ and Kenny Pickett. That was a competition for all of about 4 or 5 minutes, and then it wasn't. So when we come back, we're gonna get to the only segment that actually matters. The rest of this didn't.
And no bell, but this hey mom.
Yeah, what was the bell about? I was on this yesterday.
I was busy researching, man. That's what I was doing. I got caught lacking.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
And Steven opens us up here by pointing out the 38 career fumbles. That's the statistic that is commonly cited related to Fields. 40 touchdowns, 38 fumbles, not the healthiest ratio.
Oh.
And to that, Rick says, hey, Moan, how do you get Fields to stop the turnovers? How do you coach that? What have you seen in the past when somebody has a fumble problem?
That run around the pocket stuff, holding the ball with one hand. That lack of pocket awareness for a guy like him. Again, and I told you guys that the fact that he feels like you probably have to play hero ball in a city like Chicago, that is, and say what you want to about him, rich when it comes to football history and the need to want to win. So
the that Bears pressure, fans, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Chicago, that, yeah. They're not an expansion team.
I'm looking at clips right now, and I like to do this stuff in real time with you guys. They're playing against the Bengals right now. Sack fumble on him. Is that on him? Or is that because his left tackle got his butt whipped too? There's context to a lot of this, and I don't want to even start the excuse making because y'all never let me make excuses if I had a bad game in Pittsburgh, okay? So with that being the case, his fumbles have been a lot of guys in his face, sacks on him. Now, that may break down to a teaching a guy like him, hey, pressure, tuck the ball. Again, he went from Georgia to Ohio State. What has his teaching been? And in almost every stop that he's had, it's been, Justin, go do that little thing that you do and be an athlete. How much has he been taught to step up in the pocket? And one thing I will say, Mason, from the time I blocked with him in 2019 to where he was this past year, was two totally different guys. His ability to protect the ball, stay in the pocket, deliver, way different than what it was back then. Okay?
Oh, there's – Moan, that's 0-60, night and day, black to white. I mean, you've just never seen. He was, Mason Rudolph was the worst example of the happy feet.
I'm looking at a clip right now that has 4,800 views on YouTube right now. And it's about Justin Fields. Is he a bust? And it shows his fumbles. Every single one of his fumbles was a collapsed pocket so far. And guys around him swiping him. And him doing that thing that he does as far as trying to extend and make plays with the ball loose in his hands. If you ask me, is that fixable? One, protection. Key. Two, knowing the clock. The ball's got to go. NFL open is right now. And three, if you feel pressure, live for the next down. So, yes, it's fixable. But that the same way we wanted Kennedy to stop rolling out left to create sacks, that falls on him as a quarterback to correct that little glitch that he has in his game. I ain't excuse-making. Yeah, I'm just giving you more context.
Yeah, there's going to be, you know, all kinds of judgments, including the one from Don in here about how he has bad mechanics. We just had one up that said that, you know, he has trouble reading the field. Let's just here's how I am with this right now, okay? I said my piece about Russell Wilson when he was signed, okay? I got it out of my system. I said exactly what I felt in that moment. I thought the whole thing was really kind of botched. However, he's here.
He's here.
Okay. Justin Fields is here. As far as I'm concerned, and I almost have to do this as a reporter, I've got a clean slate here. Okay. Now you tell me from the perspective of someone with 11 years in an NFL locker room, do they enter, both of them enter with a clean slate? Meaning both good, bad, whatever. Okay. Do they walk in there and you say, all right, well, look, I know who Russell Wilson is. There's obviously going to be an instant respect factor. Mm-hmm. I know Justin Fields' excitement and dynamic is whatever else. But do they go in there where you're thinking, yeah, but what about that thing in, you know, where Seattle and Denver are paying you $1 zillion in dead cap hit? Or what about your 5,000 fumbles? What do the players say?
The players take it as a blank slate almost every single time. Anytime a new player that came, 100%. Anytime another player came from a different team, whatever baggage they had never came out because we only see the person. And if the product on the field is good, and most times it was, then you take that guy for what he was and not from what he comes from, right? There's been players that come on our team that is just bad. You know what I'm saying? And you expect it. I'll say the one guy that's probably the one of the most polarizing free agents that we signed, LeGarrette Blunt. Right?
Certainly with how it turned out, yeah.
Exactly. But we loved LeGarrette Blunt. Nobody ever brought up.
That's why you had me confused for a second. I remembered him being pretty popular in there.
But a lot of people didn't like LeGarrette Blunt because of what mm-hmm. they thought he was. Until he did that to us, nobody had an issue whatsoever with LeGarrette. And even so, after the fact, guys ever communicated with him. Wasn't a bad dude. Made a terrible teammate decision. But you take them for what you are in that moment, right? So can a person mm-hmm. like that come back in that locker room? Nah.
You walked out on us.
Nah, you can't come back.
Middle of the game.
but who takes the back seat? I think Justin takes the back seat first. Has to. He's got a lot more to learn.
Hey, Moan, do you think Mason Cole would want to come back to the Steelers? I'm going to jump on that one first. Moan, obviously his relationship and his fit with the Steelers from a personality standpoint was through the roof. He was outstanding in that component. He also has the ability to play both center and guard. He actually played both for significant stretches when he was with the Vikings. That said, this scenario that you're describing, Steven, probably would have been better handled as a restructure.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he wasn't cut because he was a terrible football player or whatever. He was cut because he was going to make way too much money and not be the starter at center. So does he come back? Can he come back? How does a player feel like that?
Yeah, you come back 100%. I've seen it happen before. Guys come back after they've been let go in other places.
Mason did it last summer.
Mason did it.
Mason Rudolph did it.
Mason Rudolph. What do I usually say, DK? If you're sitting on the couch and they offer you oatmeal, you're probably going to eat it because oatmeal is better than no meal, is it not?
Still one of my favorites.
By the way, you guys are hilarious, okay? Keep that comment right here, DK. But look at Dwight. When I say y'all never gave me excuses, he said, we offered you reasons if I had a bad game. You remember I said, y'all never let me off the hook if I had a bad game. He's like, no, we offered you reasons on why you had a bad game.
You know what's cool is this is exactly the group who would have been able to tell you how the left guard fared that day. You know what I'm saying?
I love it, DK.
This is the intensive this is the intensive portion of the fan base. Evan says, hey, Moan, what would you do with the Fields contract situation? Or can you not make any moves until you see how Russell Wilson goes? For anybody who doesn't know, Fields' fifth-year option is, ready, $25.6 million.
Boy.
That's a tough call, man. Because you want to invest. You want to invest in your future, but you got to have some glimpse of what it can be.
And there's stats and articles circulating now. I think Daniel Jeremiah is a guy that's doing a bunch of 2019 or what is it, 2020 to 2022 quarterbacks, and only two are starting. And I think that's Trevor Lawrence, and I think that's Brock Purdy from that group, and Justin Fields included in it. And finding your franchise guy has been harder and harder. And that's because, to me, stability It does. What I do for Justin Fields' contract is I tell Justin, man, you can go try and find your spot somewhere, or you can let us extend you out for a very team-friendly deal with an option if you hit an escalator as far as play, if you hit an option as far as production, that you get a bigger payday, or do a year-by-year basis with him. I think the biggest, the best template that they have is what Green Bay did with Jordan Love. Extended him out, I think, for like $18 million or something like that. I'll get his numbers here in a minute, but it wasn't anything that was over the top when it comes down to them paying him.
Our last one for today comes from Jaden Knight. Says, hey, Moan, with the Russell Wilson and Justin Fields signings, are we getting a glimpse of the vision that Arthur Smith is wanting the offense to take?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, he did the same thing.
Or are we just seeing contract situations that happen to be friendly to the Steelers? I don't know.
No, he's following his trend. Tannehill was a former college wide receiver. I think people forget that because he played at Texas A&M. Yeah, he played wide receiver. He played wide receiver in college.
Wow.
And switched over to quarterback and became a first round pick. Yes, he has college wide receiver stats. Wow. So, the reason for them trading for him was because he wanted a mobile quarterback in Tennessee. And he made Ryan Tannehill the best quarterback that I think you've seen in his version of being quarterback. What did he do when he went to Atlanta? Immediately drafted a mobile quarterback in Desmond Ridder. So is that a sign to what's to come from this style of offense? Probably more side-to-side, drop-back, rollout type of stuff with efficiency for big chunk plays and playing the sideline and over the middle? Yeah, I think you'll see the ball spread out and mobilize through them.
Yeah, I don't want to start going sideways. I know that. I've seen how sideways looks. You know, I want to see George Pickens get the football. I want to see whoever this next wide receiver it is that they get the football. I want to see Pat Freiermuth get the football. I want to see, you know, if you're going to talk about being physical.
Yeah.
Go forward.
Go forward.
You know, be tough. Go forward. You know, we'll be right back after this little outro. It's going to be interesting to see it come together more than anything else, isn't it? I mean, that's the part that jumps out to me is like, you just go, wow, there's so many different pieces.
Yeah, it really is, man. So real quick, just to give Justin Fields context, Jordan Love context on what you would do with a Justin Fields contract. Uh-huh. As it pertains to his contract, SpotTrack has Jordan Love signed a 1-year maximum $22.5 million extension. It actually is more than his fifth-year option was, which is $20.2 million. The deal included $13.5 million fully guaranteed at signing, so he got a signing bonus. So he essentially got a 1-year $13 million deal that pushed up to over $22, I'm guessing, on certain incentives and stuff like that. He had an escalator as far as that was concerned in his contract. So there's ways of getting past the fifth-year option, but you might have to just guarantee money is what happens behind that too.
You are a money guy. You've always been the money guy. You were that when you were playing.
Because it's like crime. Follow it. Everybody, we want answers.
It's like reality TV to you. You knew it. Everybody was making.
Follow the money, DK. I'm telling you, that's simply what it is, man. And in this context where you're trying to build a team, that's what you got to do. It's essentially what what's the name just said a second ago. Who was it? I think you, DeMond. Feel a sense of urgency.
Sense
I think
of you're urgency.
In the
Absolutely.
Spending.
Absolutely.
I see.
Yeah, my they're not building for something 3-4 years from now. You know, they're doing it for right this second.
You got to stay stable.
No question about that here. Chris Arkwright gets the last word. He's had a typo yesterday. Ramon's rookie cards came out in 2017. He did say 2019 yesterday. I just wanted to correct that for the record. I'm still trying to get an autographed one. He means since yesterday, Moan.
We'll have to make sure we get you.
Are you lagging since yesterday? You haven't gotten him a signed one?
Hey, I'm just shocked it came out in 2017. I mean, come on.
Good year for you guys.
I had to prove myself. Rookie contract, I guess undrafted free agents got to wait a while, DK. I make big enough plays.
You always have to work a little extra harder at everything.
Yeah, you do. We had a question come in too. No, we've already grabbed the outro. Yeah, we just did the outro. Levi came in. Hey, Moan, how do you think Wilson and Fields will handle St. Vincent? My biggest testament to St. Vincent is it takes you to football and football only. You ain't got no time to be a sideshow. You have no time for sideshows. It's hot. You're in a bowl. You practice. You go back. You study tape. You go to practice. You lift. Those guys may actually need that. And Pittsburgh, that's why I'm hopeful for them. You got nothing but football in Pennsylvania and a city that absolutely freaks out about it. If you not
– I want to
– go ahead.
And I just want to jump in before we go. Ron Wells had a good question that I really wanted to get to. He says, will Quan Alexander be back on the defense? I have not heard his name once. He did have a significant injury, and he's up there. He gave everything that he had on the field. I don't know how many more chances he's going to get. And I'm not sure what to do with this call name, but I am happy to have the first time somebody from Bulgaria on the show here with us. Oh, yeah. That's right. From Sofia, Bulgaria. Real near Serbia, my ancestral homeland. It's like south into the
east. Is it?
Yeah.
Well traveled day in.
There's a border. That's right, pal. All right, let's do this. let's do a Thursday episode of this. All right,
let's do that. I'm here for that, DK. And answer more of these questions too. I have more answers for you guys on what I see on Justin Fields' fumbles. Look them up, and just add context to those numbers people are saying to you. Could he prevent one or two? Yes. Tuck the ball and get down. But homework for you guys: go look at his fumbles and tell me what he's trying to do.
Let's do it tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
First time homework's been administered out here.
I like that. Peace. I like that. Ruler to the knuckles, if you don't.
See y'all.